Thank you all for making the time to be here. You're all very, very busy people. And thank you for the time that you are spending. The Kenyan president is in town, and he was supposed to leave at 2 o'clock. And when I woke up this morning, I saw a message that he's now leaving at 11 instead of 2. Meanwhile, we had planned this hour, beautiful meeting at 10. So the vice president has to go and see off. That's one of my duties. I have to see off the state visiting state president. And so, unfortunately, this is why I have to be at the airport by 11 to see him off. In fact, my protocol people tell me I have to be there by 10:45 since he's departing at 11. So please excuse me that I will be leaving early. But I have been looking forward so much to this meeting. Even though I'm an economist and a banker by training, my interest in the health sector, as many of you would see, is very high. Because I'm more about development and how we can move this country to the next level. And I believe that the health sector, I've said to someone, I believe it's a matter of national security, that if we should approach health just as we should approach agriculture, you can't depend on other countries for your health or your food. That is, for me, the approach I have been taking to the health sector. And it was so vivid for me during the COVID crisis. And we saw the vaccine nationalism that resulted when we had COVID. We heard that there were vaccines that were available, but we were being told, I made a call to the UK, to Oxford University, where they were coming up with this vaccine. And I said, we in Ghana want these vaccines. And actually we are prepared to pay, because at that time we didn't have a choice. We said we are prepared to pay for these vaccines, and we hear you are making these vaccines. They told us that for the developing countries, we should go to India and line up in India to collect our vaccines. India also had major constraints, because everybody was trying to protect their own populations. And that was a big lesson. Which says that if you want to really help your people, there are certain areas where you have to depend on yourself and not depend on other people. Of course, later on, when they had no use for their vaccines, they sent them over. We were also just happy to collect at that point. But I think this is what made us believe that we should get vaccine manufacturing here. But I think that it tells us that anything can happen. Supply chains can be disrupted very, very easily in this type of global system that we operate. And therefore, we should be planning for the worst case scenarios. And that is what the nature of the world today is. When we we're looking at global systems, we're looking at least cost areas of production. But the least cost areas of production, if you rely on them, could be the highest cost for you when it becomes critical, because they will not be available. So you need to build local capacity. Those are basically, let me take these questions that, as you see, since I've been in office, I've really taken a whole lot of interest in the pharmaceutical industry. The e-pharmacy is something that, as I checked a couple of days ago, I think we have over 2,140-something pharmacies which are signed on to the e-pharmacy. We've been looking at the renewal of NHIS now that is working well, the one constituency, one ambulance, the Agenda 111, the zipline drones, and also the integration of our digitalization of our medical records. And right now, I mean, we are now trying to bring all the hospital pharmacies onto the e-pharmacy platform as well, that is ongoing. So I've had a major interest, as you know, when the Pharmaceutical Society met in Ho, I think, in 2019, that is where I said, let's go digital. And then today, I think as we are speaking, the system has gone live nationwide. And we are, from what I can tell, the first country on the continent to have a national scale e-pharmacy system. So let us look at these very interesting questions that have been put forward. Community pharmacies being designated as community health centers. This is a brilliant idea. It will reduce the cost to us, you know, because a lot of simple things can be dealt with at the pharmacy levels. And therefore, you may not need to build so many facilities across if you already have these community pharmacies. And I think the Minister of Health is here, who was just the NHIA CEO. So he's fully... I think you this is a good one, right? And I think that we should embrace it and work with it. It's a simple idea. The car waiver scheme for pharmacists. I think the car waiver schemes, what resulted in their abolition was abuse. Recently, I was in Ethiopia, and I was having a discussion with the foreign service personnel who were in Ethiopia, and this issue came up. This was just less than 2 weeks ago, and we were discussing it. And they were also thinking about the waiver on their vehicles when they finish their tours of duty and they're coming home. And I said we needed to revisit this issue because the abuse was linked to people who were fronting for other people and doing that. And all of that was at a time where we didn't have unique identification and the whole issue at DVLA. But we have really digitalized the whole of DVLA and the car registration process. And the Ghana card now provides unique identification for everybody. So if that is the case, then if we use this framework, we can stop the abuse. Because that was the problem. But I think with this now, we can stop the abuse. So I was telling them exactly the same thing, because we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I think that it is something that we can do. It is not... once we can limit it to, you know, your identity, and therefore you are entitled to one car in so many years, it can easily be checked. And that is the benefit of digitalization. We can see who is abusing and who is not abusing. Recruitment of pharmacies, and that is also a big matter for you. President has also mentioned it into the public sector. And I think that we should seriously look at that matter as well. I mean, that NHIS pharmacists, just over 100, is not very, it's scary actually. It's very scary. So I think that there's a clear shortage. There's a gap that exists. So I will look at it. The medicines list for NHIS, there is a sense that it should be reviewed every 6 months so that we are current. And I don't think that can be a major problem, right? Because this is a fast-changing world. Now, the small-scale pharmaceutical producers, essentially the issue is support for small-scale pharmaceutical producers. I want to look at this generally as the issue of support for the industry as a whole. If we are serious as a country, that is the case, Ghana has a comparative advantage in the whole of the sub-region in the pharmaceutical sector. We do. There is no doubt about it. Ghana has a comparative advantage, and therefore we should be. If we want to be the pharmaceutical hub, which I want us to be, then we have to put our money where our mouths is to support local manufacturing. Without that support, we are not going to make it. The good thing about the pharmaceutical industry is that the demand for the products is there. 70% of our needs are imported. So the demand is there. So funding this is not something that you're going to fund and then you are losing money, because there is a demand for the product. And so we are going to really, I'm very supportive, whether it's through Exim or another vehicle. I think if once we have made the decision, and it will come in my manifesto, by the way, that we are going to make Ghana a pharmaceutical hub, but you cannot do it without funding. It's the same way that I want to establish a minerals development bank for the miners, because we can be, you know, a major, you know, mining hub in Ghana, especially for the small scale miners, with some support. But we need a financial institution that understands the business of mining to support them with machinery and so on. But so for me, I believe that once we have made the decision, which I've made, that we're going to make Ghana a hub for manufacturing in this sub-region, then you have to support it with the financial resources. And I think the gain from that would be huge for Ghana. And I think we should do it because we have a comparative advantage. The service providers are not being paid for, so I think we have to look at that matter. A fit-for-purpose structure for training pharmacists, 100% agree. Look, if we want to do this, we want to be the best in the sub-region, the pharmaceutical, there are many aspects of being the best. Human capital, the training, is key. Otherwise, you won't be the best. Yesterday, I was able to commission the hostel facility to train at Trinity Theological Seminary. And that is something which we got Get Fund to do. And so if you want to do something as important as a training of pharmacists, you have to put the resources there to build it also. And we are also doing that even for Kayaye. Yes, we have got skills training centers that I will be commissioning next month to train Kayaye to sort of get into. So we build these things.